You're listening to Safety Corner, powered by TCL and S1, for workers, by workers. Online and in-person health and safety programs and training available in 10-plus languages. Reach out to them at www.mys1.ca and DM them at my_S1 for more information.
Bon dia.
Bon dia, Phil.
It's a good day, man.
It's a great day. You got a lot of homework? You did a lot of homework last night? Is there ever going to be a day that there's nothing going on in the construction industry?
There is never a day that nothing is going
on. There's always so much
going on. Always something going on. It's a big machine. It's always moving. All right.
I do like the comments. I've been getting DMs, as I'm sure you're getting DMs, of people appreciating this show.
Yeah.
People realizing that they didn't know as much as they may have thought they knew about safety.
Well, hey, listen, it's safety. It's things that impact construction workers. You know, it's us trying to bring some of these issues to the forefront and to have conversations about them. Yep. And kind of see what the problems are and what are some of the solutions going forward. You know, a lot of people in tough positions these days, you know, and
you gotta run businesses, you gotta make a little bit of money, you gotta survive,
man, gotta feed your family, gotta do the best that you can,
but not at the expense of lives.
No, you can't make money if you're in the hospital, right? Like, how am I going to feed my kids if I'm missing a leg or an arm? Yeah. Don't get me wrong. I've seen videos of workers missing limbs and still working on construction sites and still going, right? But, you know, you want to avoid that as much as possible, period.
What are we talking about today?
Well, since our last episode, a lot of things have been happening in terms of different initiatives and just different observations we're making around Ontario's health and safety system and things going on. So today we want to keep it light. Some of our shows run a little bit long. I feel people might be tuning out halfway through or falling asleep during one of our training classes here.
No, it's fine. But I do like that you noted, I think on the last show or previous show, it seems like the politicians are listening. They're starting to increase fines. They're starting to be a little more aware.
Listen, you know, I think that what we were talking about in the last episode, the Trump effect, and, you know, I think it's a real thing. I think it's a real thing. And, you know, a lot of people are all of a sudden talking about issues that have existed for a very long time, but it's definitely coming to the forefront. So, you know, we've had some activity from the Ministry of Labor and some of their recent announcements, and we'll cover those today. And, you know, they're a good thing. They're different initiatives to address the various types of workers that we have in this province and the various types of sectors. And, you know, we talk a lot about construction, but you have health and safety in mining. You have health and safety in the healthcare sector, right? In hospitals, long-term care facilities, health and safety in industrial.
Hospitality,
restaurants. That's a big one. I've worked in restaurants a bit and
pretty dangerous stuff going on there.
Well, hey, listen, hey, you know, it's not like you read restaurant worker dies every single day, right? But, you know, they definitely have fatalities. Mm-hmm. They definitely have injuries. You know, so safety and hazards, they definitely affect every worker, no matter where you are or what industry or sector you're working in. You know, it impacts a lot of workers and a lot of families when these injuries happen and when these fatalities happen, right? And, you know, we talk about fatalities and injuries and, you know, there's a whole other segment called occupational illness. And this is hundreds of workers
dying. Chronic, you're talking about.
Yeah, like asbestosis, silicosis, stuff like that, right? And cancers and a variety of other things, you know, being exposed to chemicals, being exposed to airborne contaminants, you know, a variety of stuff, right? So, you know, it's an uphill battle when it comes to safety. And just to answer some of the questions and DMs and stuff, and, you know, there's other podcasts out there, and I personally think that the more podcasts on safety, the better.
Yeah.
You know,
nothing negative about it.
No, not at all. And, you know, I listen to some of these other podcasts, and I think they're great. And people are trying, and people are putting out conversations, and I think we need to have these conversations, right? And ultimately, these are all very well-intentioned people that are out there trying to protect workers and trying to do their best. That's what it really comes down to.
I'll just say this blindly, but I don't think exclusive construction podcasts are focusing on safety as much as we are. Well, I think you either create a safety show.
Everybody has their different styles, right?
I'm just saying that. I'm just, unless you guys want to correct me wrong, I just don't think that, I think that the majority of, and I'll point the finger down south, the majority of construction related podcasts don't want to speak about these things because it's kind of a black stain.
Well, the reality is a lot of these podcasts are scripted. A lot of these podcasts have to follow a narrative. You know, a lot of these podcasts can't deviate too much for opinion or input. Right?
There's rules. I didn't realize there was rules.
There's always rules, man.
You're bringing this up at me when I'm getting up to 700 shows. You're bringing up rules. There's no.
Well,
there's
hey, Manny, no rules. We haven't been canceled yet.
There's no rules, so man.
That's a good thing, I guess.
You just have a conversation, which is good.
That's what it is. And these types of conversations we're having, they happen on the construction job site. They happen on the weekends. Yeah. They happen when you're hanging out with your boys and having a couple drinks. You know, they happen in a variety of different scenarios and settings. We're just putting a camera on it.
So,
right? Well, that's all we're really doing. And, you know, some of these other podcasts and some of the people are like, well, Phil, are you an expert in this subject matter? I'll tell you guys right now, I am not an expert. Okay?
I'm part of the construction industry and I've seen quite a bit and I'm educated.
Yeah. Listen, it comes down to how I consider my opinions and my views. I consider that I'm competent. Mm-hmm. Knowledge, training, and experience. That's what I am. I'm competent. I have a lot of knowledge.
Are you the final authority?
No, and by all means, no, man. You know, listen, I'm just
shedding light.
I'm just a guy with an opinion.
That's it. Simple as that. Whether you like it or not.
I am, man. I'm a guy with an opinion. And, you know, we're just trying to do our best. That's all we're really doing. Ultimately, workers need to get home at the end of the day. 100%. Employers need to follow the rules so that their workers get home at the end of the day and they don't get charged. And that's the mission, period.
Run a safe business.
Yeah, yeah.
Whether it's construction, hospitality.
It's cheaper than paying the fines.
It is.
Even with our consulting division, you know, we have one set rate for our standard consulting. And then we have a higher rate for cleaning up messes.
Because there's more involved.
Well, hey, listen, when you're doing an investigation and stuff like that, you definitely, there's more involved for sure, right? But you're trying to protect the business at that stage, you know, and doing a thorough investigation. But yeah, there's it's more expensive to clean up messes than to prevent them.
Did you ever get, just on a sidetrack before we get started?
Yeah, we're not going to make the 45 minutes.
No. Is it kind of like litigation where you get a lawyer who's on the prosecuting side and all of a sudden you go and work for the defense side? Is it kind of like that because you started as an MOL inspector?
I started as a consultant before I ever became an MOL inspector. Okay. But yeah, I guess it's kind of something like that. It's like the ex-coppers, you know what I mean? Yeah, something like that.
So people would say, well, what do you do? You're now defending the people who are actually creating situations. No, it's not really. I'm educating them.
Defending them. You know, what we try to do is, I guess to put this plainly, is if on a scale of 1 to 10, if your company is a 0 or a 1, we're trying to bring you up to an 8 or a 9.
Yeah.
10 is extremely impossible. I've never seen a company that's a 10. But, you know, you try to your best to get close to 100% as much as possible. And, you know, it's always an uphill battle, you know, and it poses challenges. But it has to get done.
And right? I would say that even if you're a small business, 1 or 2 person business, father, son team, or a 5 to 10 employee business, reach out, set up a consultant meeting.
Well, listen.
Just discuss.
I think our next episode, just because the questions that we're getting asked and business inquiries and stuff like that, and thanks to all the new clients that we've picked up, that's pretty cool. And also thanks to all the new followers we have on Instagram, which is pretty cool. We hit 1 million views, which is the first time ever on a video this week.
Wow. Which one? The roof one?
The guys that tied off to each other.
Tied off to each other.
Oh, we had it on a previous episode. That thing hit 1 million views. And then the one that I posted a couple days ago, actually, we're going to review it today. That one's at like 650,000 views.
Which people is awesome. Are watching.
Yeah. Hey, listen, you know, it's unfortunate that the views that we get the most on our videos are the most graphic videos.
Car crash. People you
know?
Like seeing
as soon as I start talking about safety or, you know, have a post that's educational, it's like 7
but
views.
But then the business owners will pay attention to those ones. I honestly believe that.
Listen,
they want to build a better business.
If you definitely the businesses that are operating at a higher safety level have more opportunities and survive longer in this business.
Yep.
Right. You can only be operating under the radar for so long. And don't get me wrong. A lot of our clients operate under the radar, which is perfectly. It is what it is. Right. But our concern, again, is to provide employers the tools that they need to excel when it comes to safety and to prevent shit from happening on their job sites, right? That's what it really comes down to, you know? And it comes, deals with a lot of training that we do. It deals with a lot of on-site inspections and, you know, there's an enforcement component to consulting and making sure that people are following the rules.
Yeah.
Right. And just like there's an enforcement component to being a parent, you know, it needs to be done.
Mm-hmm.
Right. You got, everyone has to color in between the lines as much as possible. But okay, let's jump into this, man. Let's jump into it. And we got some news coming out of the MOL this week. So everyone keep in mind, our shows are 1 week behind. This was actually announced, I think, yesterday, 2 days ago. So the headline is Ford government to hit companies with a minimum of a $500,000 fine for repeat safety violations.
Minimum.
Minimum.
What's the max?
So the way they're doing this, if you have been found guilty, and I don't want to speak for the MOL. I watched the minister's announcement, and I'm just trying to paraphrase some of the things that he said. But ultimately, what it comes down to, if you've been found guilty or convicted of a fatality and a critical injury, then within the next 2 years or 2 years, if it happens again, it's an automatic $500K fine. Now, I don't know if that 2 year window starts on the day your first injury happened or your day fatality happened, yeah, or if it starts on the conviction date. I'm not exactly sure how this is going to play out. And this was part of their working for workers bill. This is the sixth one, I think, that they've passed. Okay. And so additional things that they've added to this bill, creating a new parental leave for parents through adoption or surrogacy. So if you adopt or you're a surrogate or something, then you get parental leave.
Okay.
27.
You couldn't get any of that before?
I'm not sure. I think they did. I
guess if it's a new parental.
I don't know. I think maybe it's just the adoption component here that maybe that didn't, they weren't considering that as requirement.
Okay.
But no matter the way you slice it, you know, parental leave is great. It's great for the moms. It's great for the dads, you know. 27-week job protected leave for serious illness. Now, don't ask me too many questions about this, man, because I'm just, this is what it pieced and gathered.
What's a serious illness?
I'm not sure. This may be occupational illnesses. This
6 months.
This may be, you know, you get cancer and your employer can't fire you. I don't know. I'm probably guessing that it's the, you get sick and your employer can't fire you for being sick. Okay.
$400 million to invest in workers' health and safety, including mental health and recovery.
$400 million.
Now, listen, I'm for this and I'm against this. Here are the reasons why I'm for and against it. I think the mental health component could be performed. You know what I'm saying?
No.
Actors.
Okay. Yeah. People claim that they're stressed. People claim that they're this and people claim that they're that and abuse it. And
well, I mean, I could generalize and just say this today's generation, they can't handle the anxiety. They can't handle the pressures of an 8 hour shift. They can't. So in that definition of a mental health, that would fall. Would that fall under there?
Listen, maybe, you know, mental health is a tricky thing. Whether it falls on the responsibility of the employer is debatable.
Yeah.
You know, it's a society issue. It's, you know, there's a lot of pressures being applied to workers from different perspectives or different angles. You know, it's family life, home life.
I was just going to say, you know, so it's like, how is it going to fall on the employer? Because this is attached to employers and businesses. Well, when the family life or the personal life, that could be contributing factor that's creating this.
Well, I think recently, a couple of weeks ago, there was a CBS agent that took his own life at work.
Wow.
And then, you know, I'm not going to speculate on the rationale. It's a sad story, anyone taking their life. But, you know, there was a couple DMs that we received and, you know, they're like, oh, yeah, we live here. We know these guys. We know a lot of these agents and this and that. And apparently this worker had a gambling addiction and lost all of his money and, you know, decided to take his life. I don't know if that's true. Right. We get a lot of DMs. I take everything with a grain of salt. But, you know,
man, I don't know. I just look at that one line there and those are just political key words to express. Hey, listen, right?
I feel I'm like these announcements always start off with, you know, the what. We're going to release $400 million to do this. Okay, the how is really important. You know, the whys, the wheres, you know, all of these other questions that go along with it. It almost seems like the bigger the number, it sounds like the more they're doing. But, you know.
But that's not the case.
I don't think that's the case. You know, I'm not interested. Well, I'm interested, but I want to know the hows. It's and then true. You want to measure the results.
Well, right now, these are things that are being announced, right? So,
well, they're expecting to fast track, from what I heard, they're expecting to fast track this bill before the end of the year. So this might come into effect next January.
Where's this money coming from? I don't understand this, man.
I don't know, man. I don't know. Hey, if you don't have it, just print it. I don't know. I'm not sure why we print tax.
Print it and then burn it.
I don't know. Well, I'm not saying that's the case here. But listen, this is their announcement. And, you know, again, take it with a grain of salt.
I don't know. I listened to what some are going through today regarding mental health. And I'm like, that's a typical Tuesday when I was a teenager.
Maybe
I'm not dismissing it.
You've had a few guests on your show that deal with mental health and some of the challenges that workers face. You know, it's just whether or not it's an employer issue. And I strongly believe, yes, an employer should provide an atmosphere where you're not being sexually harassed and not being abused and all that stuff.
But the bullying and the, like, that's where it's like, where is the definition of mental health?
And I don't know. What we've been talking about illegal workers. How about their mental health? I don't have enough money. I got to stand on the side of a road. I got to hold a sign. It's
leave freezing. A country they're familiar with. Come to a country that they're not liked in. And then be treated like crap. I get it.
If anybody has mental health issues, you know, this is probably one sector that has a lot of issues going on. Right? But
then you get people arguing that they're getting money from the government and the assistance and the hotel and the per diems. There's so many. That's what I'm saying. Mental health is a can of performing actor worms.
Listen, I'm sure there's some, and to steal the government's words, bad actors.
Yeah, again.
But, you know, I'm sure some of it's legitimate. Again, how do you assess this? How do you gauge this? I'm not a psychologist, you know, but the old school way of dealing with things versus the new way or the new school way of dealing with things and people's triggers. Listen, and stuff like that.
I still know what the sound of a belt unlooping from a pair of pants.
You're Portuguese, man. You know, Manny, I do too.
But I still know
that's called child abuse now. I don't know.
We were just tough for, I guess, I don't know what it was.
I don't know, man. Different schools, different thoughts.
Okay, we'll just move on. But okay, I'm curious about the next one, which is improved cancer coverage.
So improve cancer coverage for firefighters, investigators, and volunteers. This has to do with the firefighting sector. I think, and again, not to speak for the sector, but I think one of their biggest issues is occupational illness that kills the most firefighters. So prolonged exposure to all the burning stuff that is in any burning building, right? Chemicals and all kinds of stuff.
But the coverage, what is that, medical coverage?
I'm not exactly sure.
Okay. All right. I was just curious about that. Okay.
$1.4 billion through skills development to train 1 million workers. I don't know.
Okay, so.
Unemployment's very high in the construction sector right now.
Unemployment. Not of lack of laborers.
No, there's
not a labor shortage. There's an unemployment going on.
Oh, yeah. No.
So you want to train 1 million workers for what? New skills? I don't want to reshuffle?
Keep this in mind. This is not just the construction sector. This could apply to multiple sectors. So this could be nurses. This could be personal support workers. As we mentioned earlier, hospitality, doctors. So a million workers in the grand scheme of things, you know, Ontario has 15 million people, give or take. Out of what's our unemployment rate? 7%.
Yeah.
So, you know, some of them are unemployable. So seniors and children. I don't know. What's the employment rate in Ontario? 8 million? 10 million? Something along those lines? Right?
What does 1 million go into 1.4 billion?
I don't know. I see your calculators off.
But it won't let me do it. I don't even know what that is.
We're doing some quick maths. You got to turn it sideways.
What do you mean you got to turn it sideways?
There you go. Turn your phone sideways. It allows you for bigger numbers.
Does it really?
Yeah.
I didn't fucking know that.
Hey, man. We really? Learned something new every day. There you go.
Seriously? Yeah, because it stopped. That's why.
Do some quick math.
So that's 1.4 divided by 1 million.
Man, you might need your glasses for this
one. No, I got that one. Oh, fuck. I could just ask Siri.
Oh, here we go.
It's $1,400 per person.
Is that what the math comes out to?
$1,400 you get for new training.
I don't know. Hey, but something's better than nothing.
I know, but it's another brown check with Canadian arms on it.
Well, and that's if, I guess, based on that number, that's if you're paying the worker directly. But keep in mind, there's overhead costs to training 1 million workers.
$2.5 billion to rebate to employers through WSIB and reducing business premium rates.
So that's good news for a lot of employers.
So it is.
I think the question is, how do you get a chunk of that $2.5 billion as an employer in this province?
Okay. All right.
You know what I mean?
I'm just curious.
WSIB obviously has a surplus.
I really want to get WSIB on this show. I totally want to get
that. They won't come.
I know. I know.
But $2.5 billion. So they have what's called the SOCI program, which basically you have to jump through a lot of hoops. And once you jump through all these hoops, they accredit you as a safe employer in this province. And once you get that designation, then WSAB has a few more hoops to jump through. And once you jump through those hoops, then the first year they give you back 15% of your WSIB premiums.
I didn't know any of this. Okay.
Yeah, 10% back the second year and 5% back the third year.
Does that all reset if you have an injury?
I'm not sure. That's a good question.
I just assume it would.
That's a good... I doubt it, though. But, you know, for our clients, I think we've already managed to get over $1 million for our clients through this program.
That's pretty good.
Yeah. Hey, listen, they're happy.
You know, 1 million from 2.5 billion?
Hey, that's only me. That's me, man. True. I'm sure a lot of other, there's a lot of other safety professionals, safety companies, et cetera, that are assisting with this and assisting employers with this. But it's part of their rebate program, which is good. Right. But then it begs the question, how does WSAB have a $2.5 billion surplus?
Government and rebate are two words that should not go together.
Hey, listen, my clients are happy. One of my clients the other day got a $45,000 check. That put a big smile on my face.
I'd rather just reduce the amounts that are going out before you expect to get amounts coming back in.
Yeah, well, I don't know, man. This is how it's set up. Not a government
official.
Yeah, let's go. We're pressed for time, man. We can do this.
No, we're not pressed for time. I just don't know how many slides you got. Okay?
No, we're good. What's
going on here?
So this was just something we grabbed off Instagram, then did a couple searches just to confirm it and stuff. But new home sales collapsed by 91%.
Ka-ching.
So to all the naysayers a couple of years ago and 3 years ago and stuff like that, well, that's what a housing bubble collapse looks like. That's it in a nutshell. It's unfortunate. It's crazy. A lot of people suffering because of this.
And I do not give a damn about real estate agents regarding this matter.
Well, they definitely have a high level of unemployment these days. Those guys aren't selling too many houses.
But they also made a shitload of money when it was up.
Yeah. Now listen, there's bag holders for everything. And right now, there's a lot of bag holders.
So basically, it's a huge collapse. That's all it is, right? So,
well, hey, listen, we've talked about it. We've highlighted some of the things, you know, and we've talked about it in the field. And this is obviously a topic that a lot of people are discussing. A lot of workers are discussing. A lot of employers are discussing. You know, and we have a lot of clients in the low rise sector, and it's evident based on the workloads that they have compared to the previous year. You know, so this is affecting a lot of people, and ultimately this is the first time I've ever seen some construction workers, and not to paint everybody with the same brush, but using the food bank, which is crazy and unheard of.
That's sad.
Right? Yeah, a lot of people.
But everybody's been increasing the food bank now. It's just sad to see that.
We're going to have to do a whole episode on the food bank. And we're actually, me and my kids are going to be doing some volunteer work.
Oh, yeah?
Over the Christmas holidays. Yeah.
Nice.
You know.
Here's the thing. I just naturally assume, I don't have the stats, but you get increased unemployment, you get increased mental health.
Well, yeah. I think lack of money is a big contributor to mental health or stress.
So if we're seeing a 91% collapse in the new home sales, we're seeing a huge workforce at home not working, we're going to see massive increases of mental health situations.
I'm sure there is a lot of ripple effects that happen when this happens, right? This is going to be studied.
I'm doing a show later on today. I'm doing a show. We're going to discuss the fallout from not paying tradespeople.
Like construction liens?
Yeah. No, not construction liens. So then you as a client just decide, I'm not going to pay you. I don't want to pay you. I'm done. Sue me or whatever. And there's an entire fallout as a result of that.
I feel like there's a couple ways to handle that situation.
There's a legal way of handling it, but that's also part of the fallout too.
Yeah.
Adding construction liens or getting litigation is just adding more money to money that you haven't received. So now you put yourself in personal life, business life, everything. We're going to do that. There's a trickle.
It's definitely a shitty situation when people owe you money and they don't pay you. I've been there. It sucks.
We've all, if you're going to come into construction, you're going to experience it. As simple as that.
Yeah, man, maybe we'll put one of those videos up where the guy doesn't get paid and then he destroys the entire
project. We've seen those, right? But that's part of the fallout as well, too. Does that benefit?
No. It's not. You hope that you can resolve issues without having to put fists to the situation.
Okay.
So that's that. And now we have Canada Post. So this is the other big strike. We had the ports that got shut down. Stop doing that face, man. What are you doing that face for, man? Right? So we had a couple of other big strikes.
If it was me, I would eliminate Canada Post. Completely.
How would you get your mail?
How would I get my mail? From every other service that's out there that's a business. That's operating correctly. I would not be paying executives that are attached to the Canada Post the six-figure salaries that they're being paid.
Listen,
you got workers demanding just fair, equal pay.
Fair. Well, everyone's demanding fair, equal pay.
But you've got executives that are making six-figure salaries doing what?
Again.
That's why I'm shaking my head. Because it's poorly managed, like our government.
That's what it is.
Poorly managed.
It shouldn't be, in my opinion, again, just my opinion. It shouldn't be scrapped. This is probably a kind of post must be a very old business.
Listen, Bombardier should be scrapped. I think any unsuccessful. Listen, if you had a construction business.
Bombardier stock's been doing really good.
Oh, yeah, because they were fed a bunch of contracts that they should never have been fed.
Probably.
Right. But the thing is, I keep going back to small business owner. If you're running the ship incorrectly, you are going to run aground. Well, and then that means your business is tank.
Mismanagement of companies, it is, especially in the government, is rampant. When it comes to mismanagement of
but they get away with it, though. The executives still get paid.
Right.
The workers don't. The workers
and
want fair.
I think that's the issue.
I feel for the workers. I don't give a shit about the executives.
Like, the question is how are these other delivery services like UPS and whatever?
They're managed correctly.
Right. How are they turning profit?
Why doesn't Canada Post speak to them? How are you guys doing it?
Well, listen, it doesn't take a rocket scientist to figure it out. Do you know what I mean?
Rampant abuse is what it is. And then right? what happens is...
UPS recently got a raise their workers. And this is down in the States. But I think it was something like drivers are making $117,000 with benefits and a couple of other add-ons
there
and stuff.
There you go. They're treating them really well.
Fair. Yeah. Well...
I don't even know what a Canada Post driver gets or a carrier
neither
gets.
Neither do I.
I have no idea.
And
I can only assume if they're striking, these guys are going. It's got to be little.
Listen, Ed.
But then again, constructors, they get paid little.
I know the person that delivers the mail to my house. I say good morning, and when I see them and stuff like
in
that,
the digital age, nice people. Like when things are sent, like what is this? This is being operated so you can send out rebate checks?
Well, hey, listen, a lot of companies, a lot of services rely on Canada Post, and the fact that they're down is not a good time for a lot of people, right? Yeah. Some of my clients mail me checks. By the way, if you're a client out there and you want to mail me my check, don't. Just call me. I'll come pick it up. I'll bring a bottle.
Don't even do that. But the thing is, in today's age, you could just e-transfer. Like, you can EFT You can do all that stuff. That's what I'm saying is that we need to adapt, right? So
I think the big, whether or not in the rationale why they're on strike, I think this starts, now we start looking at what happens when there is a strike and how does the government get involved in these strikes. And with the ports, the government got involved because it affects GDP, and boom, everyone's back to work. Canada Post, the NDP have said one thing, and the Prime Minister said another thing, and the opposition has said another thing. And the fact of the matter is, they're on strike, and the government's not getting involved currently at the moment. But that being said, Canada Post says that it has been temporarily laying off striking workers. Now, that is, and this falls under what's it called? The Relations Canada Relations Board or something like Canada Labor Relations.
Doesn't that go against that?
Completely. But apparently Canada Post says they're...
So they can get away with that.
They can do it. Right? So if that's the case, you go on strike and then your employer just lays you off.
So they're thinning out the herd.
I wouldn't call it thinning out the herd, but they're definitely decapitating unions' abilities to perform effective strikes. If you're taking a look at the ports and if you're taking a look at Canada Post... Now, Canada Post lays all these guys off, gives them ROEs. And the funny part was they couldn't even mail them the ROEs. That's not funny, but...
I'm not laughing at it, but it's just funny how none of these little news media bites are talking about specifically how much money the executives are being paid, how much money the union executives are being paid, and that's where the money should be going towards the worker. I will always fight for the boots on the ground worker.
100%.
They're always underpaid. I have yet to meet an overpaid construction worker. But
100%. And all frontline staff.
Yes.
And, you know, even on a previous episode, we talked about different workers and we talked about, you know, unionized and federal workers and stuff like that. You know, and maybe I didn't mention exactly when we were describing it. But, you know, my opinion at those levels doesn't reflect the opinion or doesn't reflect the frontline workers, you know, CBS agents or, you know, people that are out in the field and doing work. You know, a lot of these issues is office staff and people that work in management and this and that. And, you know, that's different level within an organization. You know, even at the Ministry of Labor, our frontline staff was phenomenal when I was there. You know, but then even our management, they didn't get too involved and stuff like that. We did what we had to do, which was great. But now, you know, in some of these different organizations, they're massively top heavy, where you have, you know, all of these managers and directors and they're making all kinds of money, but they're not in the field. They're not doing the
work.
They're
not producing.
No, they don't produce. They have meetings about meetings to talk about the next meeting, right? And that's, I think that's what's growing. And you know,
they should be temporarily laid off, not the workers.
Management?
Yeah.
100%. Well, I think
what Canada... And I would turn that into a permanently laid off.
I think what Canada needs is a Department of Doge.
Yeah.
Just like Musk is doing down the States. Yeah.
So I feel bad for the carriers. I feel bad for all the workers there.
Yeah, but man.
If they're smart, if they're thinking, considering, they're going to probably have to... Listen, it's 2024 going into 2025. Like, I don't... Like, the mail service has... almost disappeared.
No, how can you say that when there's so many mail services such as Amazon, UPS, and
special delivery? No, but that's privatized. So that's what I'm saying is the privatization of mail has changed the public service of mail.
Me personally, I don't think it's a mail issue or whether or not we need mail or whatever it may be. I think it comes down to a mismanagement issue. Of these crown corporations.
But it's a failing business. It's a failing business model.
Well, yeah.
100 years from now, you think there's going to be a public mail service?
I don't know.
100 years from now.
I don't know, man.
No way.
Who knows?
No
Who
way. Knows,
man. But
I won't be around, but I feel pretty good.
At the rate we're going, would Walmart have drones that come and drop off your packages and this and that? Who knows where things are headed, man? And, you know.
Okay, so I feel bad for that. It's terrible, and I think you should fire all the management. That's how I feel.
But then who's going to go to the meetings, Manny, to talk about the next workers. Meetings?
Boots on the ground will know how to manage this. They will
easily
get a really fast track. Give them some of that $1.4 million retraining money. Give it to them.
Yeah.
Hey. And they start retraining for management positions.
Yeah.
I'm pretty sure there'd be lots of hands up there in the picket lines going, I'll be manager.
Hey, man. Solved
it.
You might be on
the strike is off. It's done. And here we go. Fire the management staff. Bring the workers up to the top.
One thing's for sure. Well, man, it's not for sure, but I feel like we're going to be seeing a lot more strikes.
Yeah.
And I feel like how these corporations and how these employers are going to be dealing with unions and stuff like that, I think it's going to be a little unorthodox based on what's happening so far.
Here's the sad truth.
We're going to see it.
Here's the sad truth is that you'll see more strikes. The management still gets paid. The worker only gets paid X amount by the union, right? During the strike process?
Yeah, strike pay can't be that much.
But the management still gets their rate. Whether they're making $400,000 or $600,000 a year, management still gets their pay.
They make $400,000 a year. I'm gonna be in the wrong profession, man.
No, the postal. Look it up. But I'm pretty sure that it went media wise, and he was being paid $400,000+ or something like that.
I don't know. There's definitely a lot of overpriced managers these days.
Like, how do you? That business is gonna fail. I just.
Well, it.
It will. That business model will fail.
I haven't studied it long enough. Obviously, Canada Post has been around for many years, right? And
horse and buggy. Like it has to evolve. Cars, like it just
you. Yeah. Hey, listen, but there's definitely efficiencies to be found in a lot of these organizations. I think we're going to be seeing a lot of management trimming happening. Hopefully, that would be nice.
Then don't get even started on the unions, man. Like they just that's a whole other.
Well, hey, listen, they serve a role in this big mechanism, in this big machine. You know,
they definitely roll something. That's just I don't know if they serve a role, but I'm not a fan. Because it's an abuse of power. I'm not a fan of any abuse of power.
Listen,
simple as that.
There's definitely a lot of injustices happening around us these days and in our systems, you know. But we need to talk about them and we need to figure out how these things can be avoided or prevented or improved or efficiencies. And, you know, and I like studying this, right? Yeah, and labor relations and how things work and how things play out. And
any indication how long this one's going to go?
I have no clue, man. This is just
people
one big.
Speculated? Nobody speculated.
It's one big poker game. That's all it is. You know, these people are making that move. These guys are going to call that bluff. They're going to go all in on this. Who knows? Right? But I hope it doesn't last too long, man. Christmas is right around the corner.
You know, these days, those milestones in the year don't mean shit to boots on the ground. Like, it's just like. Hang on. Those milestones don't mean shit to management.
Yeah, I know. They don't care. They're still getting paid.
Exactly. They don't give a shit. No. They still are building their cottages, buying their toys, traveling the world. Got workers here freezing on the lines, going home wondering, what the fuck are we going to eat tonight? I feel for them. I don't feel for management.
Of course, man. And one thing's for sure, the sunshine list here in Ontario gets longer and longer and longer and longer every year.
That should be a termination list. If it's government-funded project, that's what it should be.
Well, listen, a majority...
Pink slip.
Well, again, Department of DOGE.
Yeah,
if I it's agree. Efficient, it's efficient. If it's not efficient, cut it.
I agree. Right?
I don't know how we're going to pay down all our debts. No politician is talking about paying down debts.
I know exactly how you do it. You start making Canada a thriving, natural resource-producing country. We would make a lot of money.
Maybe that's why we spend so much money, because we got a plan B.
No, there's no plan B there. There should have been a plan B used on somebody before they got into power. But
that was a tough one, man.
Let somebody follow that trail if they want, right? Wow. But we got to move on.
Yes, we do. We do. All right. So we got one of our, you know, some of our followers and stuff want to see a little bit more on fatalities and injuries and what are the results and stuff like that. So we're going to play a little game here.
And, why'd you redact it?
So I didn't want everybody to guess the over and under yet.
Oh, okay.
That's all the right. Fine that they got. Okay. So workplace injury results in a fine for a Woodbridge company.
Got it.
And just put us on pause here.
This is all public, right? Like, this is out there. It's information. If you do the homework, you see all this stuff, right? They have to announce this stuff?
So this is the court bulletins at the Ministry of Labor website. So anybody that's found guilty, you can find all the information here. Now, granted, 10 years ago, this page was full, nonstop of court bulletins.
Really?
Oh, yeah. The amount of charges... successful charges and convictions in the construction industry and health and safety
in general, okay,
was a lot more than it is now. And you've heard news and stuff about the court and charges getting dropped and not enough people and not enough lawyers and not enough judges. And, you know, this person goes out on bail and commits a crime and da 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 da. And it's kind of a joke these days. The same thing is happening in the construction or the health and safety component of that justice system, where charges are getting dropped or inspectors are on cases, but then the inspectors got terminated. And this might be a whole other show too, where we'll bring in some other former inspectors. But for example, 40 inspectors, this is not an example, this has happened. 40 inspectors, give or take, 40 inspectors got fired from the Ministry of Labor. this happened last year.
Yeah, I remember you telling me about this.
We talked about this. But keep in mind, every inspector is doing 240 field visits.
It's a lot.
So that's each inspector did not go to 240 sites. Now, if you look at the reactive work for the inspector, which is roughly about 80%, that means 80% of their workload is investigations. And if it's investigations, how many of those are criticals? So it comes down to how many charges got dropped because the inspector was unavailable to show up, right? But that's a reflection on the Ministry of Labor and how they handled those
management again.
100%. One in particular. But
who?
No. But that being, right. That being said, you know, like I had a case that went to court. One of my clients got three tickets. All three tickets got dropped.
Because the inspector
was MIA. They, you know, he quit. You know, and
the MOL was MIA.
Well, the inspector that laid the charges was no longer employed by the Ministry of Labor.
I get it.
Right? Okay. So, you know, this has happened a lot. And you can just tell by the number of court bulletins here how many cases are not making. So that's how you're
connecting the past and the amount versus what it is today?
Well, that and the fact that a lot of cases just are not going through. Right?
Is that a good or bad thing?
I think it's a bad thing.
I think it's a terrible thing.
I think you're lowering the bar when it comes to the amount of prosecutions. People are hoping
that I can speed and I won't get caught.
Yeah, but there's guys getting caught speeding and still being let go. Oh, you're drunk driving? Oh, go ahead. Right? Listen, when the cat's away, the mice come out and play.
Mm-hmm.
Right? And the cat has been away for a while.
Okay, so what was the injury here?
All right, so let's pull this up. How come it's not showing my screen?
What's not showing? Your full, is it a separate screen?
We're having some technical issues.
No, I'll cut this out. Don't worry. You know what I think we'd do? How many more slides do you have?
Two or three. We're going to make it, man.
You're 3 minutes away. I was going to say, if we do this one, show it, and then we cut the show and they go, here, now we continue it for another show. So we keep it at 45. No,
we got this. Let's go.
Okay.
All right. So the background on this one. June 4th, 2023. Okay. So, and we were talking about the 500,000 and who it's going to apply to and stuff. So June 4th, 2023, a worker was cleaning and sanitizing the equipment used to process, package various cheese products. So this is most likely in an industrial setting. Well, it's an industrial setting. The fixed in place guards designed to prevent worker access to in running nip hazards were removed from a conveyor to allow the worker access to all parts of the machine for cleaning. So they're cleaning it. They remove some components so that they can get in and access the little corners of the machine. While attempting to clean waste cheese particles that were stuck in the groove of a conveyor drive roller, the worker was critically injured.
Ouch.
The conveyor had been running while the worker was cleaning it. And for everybody out there that's cleaned the conveyor belt and stuff like that, turn it off.
You should turn it off.
You should. Well, yes, turn it off, period.
Okay.
So Ministry of Labor investigation found that the worker would not have been injured had the conveyor been equipped with a guard to protect the worker from accessing in-running nip hazards. So this employer was Saputo Cheese up in Woodbridge, I guess, failed as an employer to ensure the measures and procedures prescribed by Section 25 of the Regulation for Industrial Establishments were carried out in the workplace, contrary to Section 25(1)(c) of the Occupational Health and Safety Act. Now, critical injury fine.
So this is a critical injury.
So this worker most likely got their hand crushed. Lost
like an amputation or?
I don't know.
Okay.
I don't know. It's a critical industry, critical as defined, meaning that it met the requirements for it to be defined as a critical injury. So in this case.
Only one hand?
I'm guessing.
Yeah,
I'm just hand. Reading this and it sounds like.
So you want to ask me how much I think the fine was?
That's. So if here, let me put it this way. We've talked about fines in previous cases and previous episodes and, you know, the average fines and stuff like that. I'm going to put this number, and I already know the answer, but you guys don't. So I'm going to put this number at 75,000. Do you think it's over or under this?
Oh, it's fine. Under.
You're taking the under?
Under.
How about you? You're taking the under too? 79,500. You're both wrong. It's the over. Okay, so this company got fined 79,500. Now, that being said, Date of offense, June 4th, 2023. Date of conviction, November 15th, 2024. All right, so that's how long?
6 months. No. Year and 6 months.
Wow. So this one went through. Now, back to the $500,000 fine that we were talking about earlier for second offenses and stuff like that. Now, this is where, you know, they're going to have to explain a little bit more. Is it going to be on the date of the offense or the date of the conviction? I'm guessing the date of the offense.
But if this business gets another one, it's now, automatic 500?
It won't be for these guys because the law hasn't been passed yet. But I'm sure it'll be grandfathered in. Okay. So even if, like... So if it comes in on January, then the first $500,000 fine. So if it comes in January 1st, 2025, this law, then the first $500,000 fine, at the minimum, we won't see it for another 2 years.
Now, is that 79.5? Is that including all court costs, victim surcharges?
No, that's just a fine.
That's just a fine. Okay. All right.
But that fine should include the victim surcharge, which is 25%.
Okay. But not legal fees and court costs.
Following a guilty plea, Saputo was fined $79,500 by Justice of the Peace Michael Cuthbertson. Crown Counsel was Judy Chan. The court also imposed a 25% victim fine surcharge as required by the Provincial Offenses Act.
Included in that amount?
I think it may be plus.
The surcharge, it could be plus. Okay, yeah, surcharge.
Plus. Just based on the way this is written.
Well, it's still too little in my opinion.
Well.
I think so. I don't know the severity of the injury.
Yeah, listen, when they come down to, and this is the questions that are going to come up with this $500,000 strike two fine, right? That sounds great. And for a company like Saputo Cheese, maybe they can afford a $500,000 fine, right? Or
I think they can afford it.
You know, but it's some of these big companies like, that steel company down Stelco?
Okay.
They've had all kinds of injuries and fatalities over the last 10 years. Oh, man. Fiera Foods here in Woodbridge, those guys had multiple fatalities, right? So maybe these companies can pay the $500,000 fine. And when they do these fines, you know, there's submissions by the defendant that says, okay, listen, I'm a company. I've only been in business for 5 years. Here's my taxes. This is how much money I only made, you know, $10,000 profit last year. I have a bunch of losses. I got a family, you know, please give me a fine. They take that into consideration when they issue the fines, you know, your ability to pay the fine. So if they do that with a small business, so let's say a carpentry company that employs 10 workers has a critical injury. They get fined, let's say, you know, $50,000 or $79,000. Then the next time around, it happens. Maybe in 1 year and 8 months, they have another injury, right? How is that company going to pay a $500,000 fine?
The business is bankrupt. It's done.
Done. Shut her down.
So you won't get paid the fine and you shut it down.
Right? So
that's going to do.
That's what that's going to do. But again, construction, not dumb. These employers and these constructors aren't dumb.
No.
Right? So they'll set up shell corporations and
exactly what they'll start to do too.
Right? No, but this is a wide known practice where you get a major home builder, and we're not going to say any names, but you can just pick one, and they'll set up multiple projects. And for each project, they'll have a separate corporate entity. Right?
So it's called insulation.
Insulation or insulation?
Insulation.
Yes.
Plenty of R value in that.
Yeah. And so what will happen is that if they get charged and fined, that project's going to be done anyway. Then they shut down the business. And if they have another critical or something like that within the 2 years,
it'll be all over again.
Yep.
It's almost like an A, B side on a record, man.
Yeah.
Just keep flipping it.
So this $500K fine, who's it going to really apply to? It's going to apply to employers that can't shut down.
In 5 years, I'd like to see if any of that happens. If it happens, if it moves forward, I don't know. We'll see what happens. It's nice. It's a nice little soundbite for the Mr. Ford there. It's great, whatever. But he's just trying to keep his job right now.
Well, hey, listen, it's an election year, and the chances of him getting reelected are really excellent.
It's just because he's blue. Simple as that.
Yeah, and then, you know, we can talk about, I won't try to avoid politics and stuff like that, but... You know, there's a lot of things, like I've said before, that just don't line up and don't match.
But it's funny how boots on the ground sees it, management ignores it.
Yeah.
That's how I look at it.
Oh, we can't ignore it.
No, because don't it have directly that affects us.
Sure, $500K to a small business, that directly affects the workers, that directly affects the families, you know. And again, on previous shows, we've talked about how efficient the government is in collecting this money and these convictions and what those rates are. This one's bad.
I was trying to... Okay, is the arm actually pinched underneath that container? Is that what it is?
All right, so... This is
what we always like ending the show on a high note. Holy cow. Really? Is that what's going on?
So this is one of the videos we posted. This is looks like it's at some port. This is a sea can or a shipping container or something like that. And this is one of the videos. This thing has already 650,000 views, which is insane. But let's play it.
So the sea can is sitting right on top of his arm.
Dude, that arm is done. That arm is...
But there's another guy on the other side.
There's the other guy. Done. What's the clearance there? A centimeter?
There isn't any clearance there.
Like...
The crane wasn't paying attention or like...
So this could be a couple of contributing factors. It could be a failure of their hoisting and rigging. Right, it could be a failure of their hoisting and rigging, a chain, or something snapped, or strap. You know, this is a bad example. Well, this is a good example of why you're never under loads and you don't stick your arms where you wouldn't want to lose them type deal. This kind of ties into a bit to that critical with the Saputo cheese and sticking your arm into running piece of machinery and stuff like that.
Yeah.
Right? And loads over workers is a massive thing. Massive. Even this week, I think on, not I think, well, there was an injury on a job site down in Toronto where a fly form had fallen on a worker. Anyways, this worker suffered two broken legs and a fractured spine, which is crazy. And shout out to that worker, man. I hope you do better. Hope you're feeling better. It's fucked. But, you know, we put a little poll out to our tower crane operators and our followers and stuff like that, because in these situations, you know, the wind plays an effect for the tower crane, right?
But this looks like
this isn't that
a conditioned space.
No, but you know, like the tower crane operators, and the question was, you know, how often do you exceed your wind limits on your tower crane? And you're looking at wind limits being at 50 to 55 miles per hour before the crane shuts down, right?
That high.
Yeah, those cranes go. And and the question was, how many times you guys exceed it? And, you know, the majority of the respondents, and not, you know, it wasn't just tower crane operators that responded. It was hire a lot of foreman work guys and stuff like that. But, you know, they exceed it on a regular basis. Right? And
are they being forced to exceed it?
Of course.
By management. Production.
Yeah. You know, that's the...
Get the job done.
Every time I ask the question, why did you just shut it down? But we can't.
Get the job done.
Right. And in this example here, you know, it could be a variety of reasons why this happened. But the bottom line is, you know, do you want to stick any part of your body underneath a load that weighs thousands and thousands of pounds? You know, but it's crazy. Right. But these guys most likely lost their arms in this event. And it's
crushed bone, crushed everything.
Yeah, no, that's just
it's devastating.
Turns into a sack of jelly. But yeah, man, that's more crazy things happening in health and safety, and more incidents, unfortunately. And I don't know, it's nuts out here, man.
That's not Canada, was it?
I know that doesn't.
I don't know.
It's hard to tell these days.
No, it's hard to tell these days. I know,
but I don't think that was Canada.
It's been quite interesting. No, that a lot of interesting things here in Canada too.
Oh yeah, no, they like I said, man. Yeah, we show videos from around the world, but don't kid yourself.
They blend right into the Canadian videos.
Don't kid yourself, man. There's a lot of stuff that we're posting these days is coming from North America and Canada and U.S. and you know, it's not a reflection of the workers. This is just, I guess. You know, if it was a failure of their system, of their hoisting and rigging, or the tower crane, or something here, or the crane, maybe not a tower crane, but, you know, something failed here.
It'd
be devastating
to know that it was just not a failure, but just a lack of professionalism on the crane operator that just decided to
Just lowered it right on their arms.
Yeah,
you know,
not realizing that they were there.
Yeah, it could be the signal person, you know, wasn't present or gave faulty signal. Who knows?
The only reason that I'm thinking that that's the situation is because I don't see that C-CAN being off the platform base. If it was a failure of some sort of rigging chain or something like that, yeah, it would have been more of a skewed landing.
Yeah, it could be.
It looks like it's actually landed right on the platform that it needs to be landed. That's the only reason why I'm bringing that up.
We could take a few guesses here. Yeah. And,
but you know, it's just devastating that
happened to two workers right there. Probably not too far from
the truth. Yeah.
Yeah, no. But again, having a load crushing a worker.
It's one of the top four?
Easily. Crushed by, struck by objects, right? Yeah. You know, either you're getting crushed by a piece of machinery and equipment, or something is falling and dropping on you, or, you know. There's a variety of things. But Manny, we made good time.
Yeah.
I hope nobody fell asleep today. And as usual,
these are important. This is important conversations.
I think so, man. Yeah. I think so. And, you know, thanks for everyone that makes it through all our videos. Thanks to everyone that follows us. And, you know, thanks to everyone that asks us questions. And we're just trying, man.
Thanks, Phil.
No problem, man. Thank you. Have a good weekend. Eh?
That's it. We're out of here. You're listening to Safety Corner, powered by TCL and S1. For workers, by workers. Online and in-person health and safety programs and training available in 10-plus languages. Reach out to them at www.mys1.ca and DM them at my_S1 for more information.